like this. There goes. Good morning, His Tabernacle family. How are we doing this morning? Are we here? Are we alive? Are we up? Awesome. Well, we just want to welcome you today. I wanted to let you know if you're new, we do have a connect room off to this side in this hallway, so my left, your right. And after the service, you can go in there and connect with the pastors or any of the church family that's in there, and we would love to get to know you. I'm so sorry. I did this first service too. My name is Greta, by the way. I'm Pastor Aaron's wife, so now you know who I am. Goodness gracious, I don't know why I can't get that. All right, now we also have a leadership class coming up. It starts June 15th, and it'll be at 7 p.m. It's an eight-week class that will help you become a better leader in your home, your ministry, your workplace, and completion of Rock Solid Faith is required for this class, so make sure you go through that first. Next is baptisms. It's next Sunday, June 13th at the 9 and 11. So if you would like to take that next step in your faith and your walk with God, it'll be out in the foyer out here, and you can sign up for that today. Also, Awaken Young Adults is happening next Sunday, June 13th as well. That'll be at 6 p.m. And our new pastors, Pastor Tim and Pastor Noel, will be leading that out. So we're going to have worship, word, groups, and I think some s'mores. So that's going to be good. And then also, I wanted to let you know about the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. I actually work there. I'm the offsite services coordinator there. And I wanted to give you a little bit of information because we do baby bottle drives and we do different fundraisers sometimes for them. So we have two different buildings. We have a main office where we do pregnancy tests, on-site limited ultrasound to confirm pregnancy, pregnancy options education, and compassionate care. And then at our Life Center, we actually just got a new building. So we're on William Street, which is really close to that Duncan by Church Street. So we're right around the corner from there. That's where we'll do parenting education for moms and dads, healthy pregnancy education, goal setting, life skills, material assistance, sexual abuse support, and emotional support. And then as the offsite services coordinator, what I do is I help equip others to help equip others to make better decisions. So I am here to help specifically students know how to mentor their peers in making the right decisions so that they don't think that abortion is the only option, that they know that they will be supported, that they will have help, or they will have adoption. So that's what we do. So I wanted to give you a little information on that so you know what you're giving to when you do give to us. We are fully funded by donations, and so we're so grateful for you guys. And so that's that. So we're just going to welcome our senior pastors. If you would stand too, that'd be awesome.
Praise the Lord. What an awesome ministry that is. And if you've got, you know, sometimes you can actually go and you can volunteer there. So make sure that if you get that opportunity, it will really change your life. Helping people, saving babies. Amen. Who was that? It was just moments away from being aborted. It was just
Monty, your friend Monty.
My pastor friend, where we just were in Idaho, he was 6 inches from an abortion. His mother changed her mind on the table. And now he just handed over a church of 3,500. So can you imagine if he had been aborted, what there wouldn't have been a church there. God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we're glad to be home.
Yeah.
In the last month, we have been to Dallas, we have been to Indiana, we have been to Idaho, we have been to Tampa, and now we're home. Whew. Good to be home. And this is the first time I get to preach in 1 month. So it's going to be a very long sermon. I got to make up.
But you got to preach, you'll get to preach three times today. Tonight at 6 p.m., our Bishop Rick Thomas, what is happening? Stop. Bishop Rick Thomas will be in the house, and we would really love it if you would come out. We want to show our oversight so much honor, our covering. He has been such a blessing to us. So Pastor and I would appreciate it if you would come back out at 6 p.m. p.m., you will be blessed. This house is blessed because of the impartation that comes down from our bishop. He was at Ithaca. He is at Ithaca this morning. He was there last night for a vision night. They're getting ready to do a $300,000 renovation. Woo-hoo. That already, without even pushing it, they've raised $160,000+ for the renovations.
Amen. Isn't that cool?
And then last night, this is how awesome our bishop is. He wanted to be the first one on vision night.
Before you did that.
Oh, yeah.
When we first went to the Ithaca location, Bishop was with us. And we walked in, and let me tell you, it was staggering. And he looked at Pastor Chad, he says, you know you got to renovate this, right? It was really that bad. And he said, I'm going to give the first $5,000 to the renovations.
Yeah.
Well, last night, they're needing to raise $135,000 this weekend up in Ithaca. And the bishop stood up.
And he said, I'm going to give the first $10,000 to this vision.
Amen.
So he really loves this house. He loves the vision. And he doesn't just say it. He backs it
Amen.
Up with support also. So we appreciate him so much. And we know that you'll be blessed tonight as you come and enjoy the service 6 p.m. So make sure you already plan in your head to be back here at 6 p.m.
So as your pastors, we're asking you if there's any way you can be here. This is honor. Can you imagine if 25 people show up? It's dishonor. And so we want to honor the bishop. So if you'll be here tonight at 6 p.m., you won't walk away and say you're bored. You're going to say, yes, that was awesome. So you want to be here tonight, 6 p.m. with Bishop Rick Thomas, our bishop. So last night was Bishop Rick. I was there. And then Pastor Chad, three generations of ministry.
Yeah.
So very exciting.
Amen.
Beautiful. Why don't you open us in prayer?
Amen. You, God, you are awesome. There is no one like you. There is nothing even difficult for you, Jesus. You are so great, and we know that in your presence, things change. Things change. Things change. So we're so thankful that we can run into your presence, that we can enjoy your presence, Lord. So we just lift you up.
Yes.
God, we love you so much in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship.
How you guys doing? We'd love to invite you up. You guys can come on up. We'd love to praise with you. There's a lot of empty space on this side. Come on and worship with us. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Anybody. Come on and sing this out. Say, we love to.
We love to call your name. Something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great,
say your great name.
Your great
Come on and shout
name.
It out, say.
We love to call your name, yeah. We cannot explain that happens when we proclaim. Name.
and shout a little louder. Say,
power in your name. There is power in the name. There's so much power in the name.
Come on and testify this. Say, there is power.
Oh, that is who you are.
stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
To your
presence, 'cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. Oh, I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. There's a hunger and a thirst.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we not only need you, we want you. Father, that you're the one that we're after. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants to heal some folks this morning. There's an individual probably 3 inches below your collarbone on your left-hand side, what people would consider the heart area. You're having, it's almost like a pinpoint too, just a pinpoint pain. In the name of Jesus, I just speak to it right now. I command the cause and root of it right now to be released in the name of Jesus. God, we command the pain to go as the sign that, God, you have done the work. There's another individual on your right-hand side. I'm going to take my coat just to show you. It's right here on the side, not directly. I don't know if it's male or female, but it's pain right in that area. God is going to heal you. And actually, that is, it can be considered serious. And the Lord is cleansing and purging your system right now in Jesus' name. And wholeness will come. When you go to the doctor, you will see, as they will give a report to you in Jesus' name. Is another person having problems with your stomach? It's the pain. It's an actual pain in your stomach. Feels, and it's horizontal and in hitting. So it just goes and hits you, and then it goes, and it comes and hits you and goes. The Lord is healing your stomach lining in Jesus' name. And he says, stop worrying all the time. Cast your cares on me, for I care for you in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you care about all needs that we have in our lives, big or small. God, you care. We thank you, Jesus, that we not only need you because we do, but thank you that we want you, and not because of what you can do for us, but because of who you are. And we honor you this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I think my daughter Corinne is coming.
Hey guys, how are you? Okay, so we're obviously talking about tithe. I know a lot of you like turn your ears off for tithe, but just hear me out a little bit and let's get into this. We're going to be reading out of Malachi 3, 8 through 12. It says, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me, but you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Okay. So when I was reading this and looking into it all, yes, tithing is money, but it's not about necessarily the money. Tithing is about showing God that you're faithful to his word, faithful with his money, and faithful when it doesn't even look like it could be the smartest thing if you don't have a ton of money. And it's also a privilege. It allows us to stretch our faith, and it lets us learn a greater discipline and responsibility. So even if it doesn't look like it, I don't know if you guys have been in this situation, but there's been times where I'll look and that 10% could definitely go to a bill. But instead of just looking at it that way, I always, actually before I even do anything else with my money, I go right on and I tithe it because I just want it out of my account. I want to give it to God immediately and I don't even want to think about taking it. So I give it to God, and I want to tell you, even though that could go to a bill, every single time, regardless of what happens, God is always taking care of every single bill, every single thing I would need. So when I had the baby in November, I don't know, I guess I was super ignorant towards the fact that not all insurance can cover all the bills for it. So we got a pretty decent bill for that, and I was like, oh, what is this? But it was pretty big. And then our insurance is through Antonio's work, so they messed something up in there. And then I also didn't know that kids can get free health care if anybody needs it. Yeah, that's a thing. So we added him to our insurance, which doubled our insurance. Then we were paying the back pay, and then we had the hospital bills to pay. So it was just a lot coming out, and his checks were like significantly lower from all that coming out too. So in reality, it wouldn't look like it'd be possible to pay all of our bills and have, I like Starbucks, and go to Starbucks and get what we want. It's the little things in life, guys. Every time we tithe, we seed, no matter what, and everything's always taken care of, even my Starbucks. So we've also been seeding for Antonio. Worked that job for 2.5 years. And he's like not a sit at a desk kind of person. He's like, I want to sit up and do stuff and whatever. So we've been seeding for 1.5 years of that for him to get a new job. 1.5 years, he's sitting there like, okay, I'm really over this. But we just continued to seed. We continued to tithe. We continued all that. Then 1 month ago, somebody contacted him and he got an offer as a full-time position in a gym, which he's always wanted to do, but it just never looked like it could ever be a thing. Also, he just opened his own business. We're working on that. So with everything, we're going to be able to get way more than even his last job. Also, he's going to be able to have his own schedule, and he's just going to have so much more free time and be doing what he actually loves to do. So that was just cool. Let me see what else I had to say. Okay. So I don't know. Basically, I just wanted to challenge you today to just try it. Even if it's like 1 month, the word even says try it. Like, this is the only thing he says in the Bible. Test me in this. Try it for 1 month. See what happens. Because I can tell you, I could sit up here and tell you all day all the testimonies that I've had in my life from tithing. Just do it. It's so cool to see what God can do for your life. And it's only 10%. It's really not a lot, I promise. But anyways, that's what I have to say. So let's stand up and pray. Okay. Jesus, we thank you for this. We thank you that you brought us all here today. We pray that you just help us step out in faith today, that we won't wait until next week or next month, that we will do this today, God, and that you'll show up and show out for us, Jesus. We thank you for everything you're doing in our life and everything you're doing in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. All right, you can bring them up.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain. We love to call your name. It's a-
Praise the Lord. The front row is definitely this morning the spit zone. Glory to God. I want to welcome y'all here. Tonight is going to be so good. Last night, the bishop was just dropping nuggets all over the place. And I'm probably going to have to listen to that message at least two or three more times. We're just so blessed to have such tremendous oversight in our lives. And Brother Ted Shuttlesworth sent me a message yesterday, and the Lord was speaking to him for all the churches that are under him. He's telling the pastors to take a little extra sabbatical this summer because it's going to get really, really, really busy this fall. And I have no question once we start talking about what the Lord laid on my heart. One of the things that you'll find is that when you hear from the Lord about a situation, God is revealing where he's going. A lot of people know where God has been, but not a lot of people pay attention where God is going. When you understand where God is going, then you're able to go with him and pay attention to his directives. The Bible talks about that this year, and we've declared it, that we're going to change forward. We've watched churches, man, they've struggled this year. In fact, they said, normally, we know 9,000 churches close a year in America. This year, they're declaring right around 90,000 churches are going to close in America. That's not a small number. That is a lot of number. That is a lot of churches. And it's important to recognize the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But it never says the gates of hell shall not prevail against churches. And when the churches are attacked, you'll find that those that are paying attention and those that are aware are going to be able to navigate by the Holy Ghost in where and how to get through. And I thank God for you. Turn to someone and say, I thank God for you. Because we've not only navigated, God has blessed us. He's not just blessed us here, but just to give you a quick testimony. This morning, Bishop is up in Ithaca, and they've already raised over $160,000 for this renovation. And they're raising $130,000 more today. It's going to be amazing. It's not even going to be a problem. It's going to be exciting. And they're already, near 200 people already up there out of room, which is a phenomenal problem. Our church in New Brunswick, Canada, literally when we took it over 2.5 years ago, was running about 25. Last Sunday, 179. They are completely out of room. There is no more room in that building. Our West Virginia campus, that is doing phenomenal. Literally 1 year and just a few weeks up past the launching of it. They're finishing their first building and they're running near 100 people already. Now listen now, 100 people might not sound like much, but when it's where they live, dear God, they live where only deer and antelope play. The closest hotel is 40 miles. 40 miles. Closest hotel. So, and then we've got the Kentucky ministry literally doubled in 2 weeks. Phenomenal. God is pouring out his spirit. They're running over 100 people right now. And then Campeche, they're running near 350, 375 people. And all the other churches down in Mexico are flourishing. And the new church in Uganda is just getting off its feet. And I cannot wait to see what God is going to do there. And the Lord is opening opportunity for us to speak into other churches and help other churches. And there's no greater blessing than to be a blessing. Say amen. So God is doing phenomenal things. But the challenge is not that God is doing phenomenal things just in one location, but God is moving all over the world. So the necessity of understanding where God is going, what God is doing, is needed. So that way we can walk in the principles of the Lord. I want to remind you, every single time a group of people come together and do one thing with one heart and one mind, that there's always phenomenal results. Remember when God had to come down and he had to rebuke about Babel, the Tower of Babel? He said, when group gets together, they can do whatever. There's nothing that could stop them. So he says, I'm going to confound their language so they'll split apart. But then you have the book of Acts, chapter 2, when they were all together in one accord, with one heart and with one mind. And that day, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was released in that place. They began to speak with other tongues, but it was the launching of the church. How about Acts, chapter 4? They were together in one house praying, and the power of God came so strong that literally the building started to shake. Every single time that the people are in one location, with one heart, with one mind, there's nothing that cannot be done in the things of God. Ah, that makes me happy. How about you? The Bible declares in Psalms 143, verse 19, our verse for the year. Listen carefully. Turn to someone and say, listen up now. The Bible says, I'm about to do a new thing. Now, I want to remind you that there really is nothing new under the sun. But in this new thing that God is getting ready to do, even as Brother Ted just prophesied about this fall and about all the different prophets that are speaking of what God is going to be doing here in the quite near future, is that third great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That third great outpouring to bring in the greatest harvest of souls before Jesus cracks the eastern sky. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. You see, we've got to be ready for the new thing, which means if you're not changing forward, then you'll never be part of what God's plan is. There are a lot of folks that have gotten saved, a lot of folks that have good intentions, but many believers have never moved past the salvation experience. And it's time to move forward. It's time to change forward. It's time to accelerate in your walk with God. It's time to experience the supernatural. It's time to be used in the supernatural. It's time to recognize that God's kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The challenge we have in Christianity today is because faith is not taught often. For I walk by faith and not by sight. Is what happens is many believers are more part of the world system than they are God's kingdom. They rely more on the kingdom of this world and how the world works, how the world makes sense, how the world is active, rather than looking at the Word of God. For every king has to have a kingdom, every kingdom has to have people that follow, and every kingdom has to have a constitution, which are what we base laws off of, and that is the Word of God. There are so many believers that are so focused on this world that they are no heavenly good. And it's time to have a great revelation of God. It's time to get back to the kingdom principles. It's time to get back to being a believer in the kingdom of God. It's time to get back to walking kingdom principles rather than leaning more on the world's principles. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth, which means when this happens, when God starts moving, it's going to happen quick. So there are a lot of people that aren't going to be paying attention. They're so distracted with their sin. They're so distracted with their past. They're so distracted with their guilt. They're so distracted with their money. They're so distracted with their activities of life that they're not going to pay attention to what God is about to do. There are many that are going to miss this last great outpouring, and they're going to sit back and wonder where they were at. Well, they were there, maybe even in the church, but they weren't paying attention to what God was doing, or they would have seen it and understood it. The Bible goes on to say, will you not be aware of it? And the answer is, many will not be. I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, which talks about miracles. You see, we're getting ready to open up. We're getting ready to see the greatest outpouring of miracles we have ever seen before in this time of history to draw in the greatest harvest. I want to remind you, as we open the text called the Bible, we see the miracles of Christ. But the Bible goes on to say that if they wrote all the miracles, if they wrote all the things that Jesus had done, there wouldn't even be enough books to compile it together. I want you to see that what we see here in the Word is just small compared to what actually Jesus did. And I want you to recognize what God is going to do in your life is small to what you've seen to date. It's small to what you've experienced right now. It's time for greater things. It's time for mega things. It's time for God to move in your life like He's never moved before. But we've got to pay attention to what God is doing. I believe without any question, this is what I want to share with you, that the enemy is a wise old fox. Now, I'm not going to sing the song for you. I like the song. Okay, we're going to sing it. I'll sing it first. You sing with me. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could. Now, you got to snatch when you do that. Got to grab him by the neck, right? The devil is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd stuff him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key. all those things he's done to me. That's an old song. How many of you remember that from Sunday school? Not many. Okay, let's move on. Ready? Let's sing it together. The devil is a sly old fox. If I could snatch him, I'd stuff him in a box. I'd lock the box and throw away the key for all those things he's done to me. And I want you to recognize the enemy is very attentive of the signs and the times that we are in. He's very attentive that God is getting ready to do a new thing. And in that, the body of Christ has to pay attention to what the enemy is doing to disembark, disembowel, disengage us from the purposes that God has foreordained. The church at large, if 90,000 churches can close in America in 1 year, it's not because God is not on the throne. It's because they are not paying attention to the leading and the guiding and the things that God is doing. We've got to have a resurrection. We've got to have an apocalypsis. We have got to have a revival in our spirit to again understand what God is doing in our time. The devil's aware. He's read the Bible. He understands where we're going. He understands what God is getting ready to do. He understands barometric pressure. He's feeling the pressure. And in that, I've always found when God is getting ready to pour himself out, the enemy always starts spazzing. He goes into spasmodic motions. He gets into crazed times. And he's paying attention. And he's looking at the church. And he's concerned that the church will understand the season that we're in. He's concerned that the church will not get sucked into his plan to disengage us. So we're here today because we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And we're going to, come on now, we're going to shine and paint a nice little red bow on the by. And we're going to let him know that this is the boy right here. This is the guy. This is the devil. Don't follow his trail. Say amen or oh my. Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 through 16, you are, shout I am. Now, it's important to know every time God said, I am, he was declaring his nature, his character, his personality. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Nisikanu. I am. And he goes through all the I ams of who he is. I am the Savior. So when God starts telling us, I am, we've got to pay attention because you were not before salvation, but you am now. And in that, we've got to recognize that if God says this is who we are, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It matters who God says you are because you are who God says you are. The Bible says, I am made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus. I can do all things. Come on now, we can go through all the I ams of the believers. I am a child of the Most High King. You see, I am not just a Christian that goes to church. I'm a son of God, John chapter 1. He's given us the right to be called children of God. I am the beloved of heaven. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. We can go through the I ams. You see, when you start understanding who you are, you start understanding the kingdom, then it pales to what the world can offer, and you live a different lifestyle. Bible says, you are the light of the world. Turn to someone and say, you kind of bright. Like a city set on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. What's important to recognize is that you are a person of purpose. Now, if your purpose is getting up in the morning, going to work, making a few dollars, or if your purpose is getting up and eating Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, and that's the highlight of your day, I want you to know you're missing it. Because you can make all the money you want in this world and still not be a person of purpose. You can eat the best Crunch Berries, come on, say amen, and still not be a person of purpose. purpose, in its very definition, says this: the reason for which something is done or someone is created, the reason somebody exists. Your existence on this planet is called purpose. And when a person has the world or the world's assignment as their purpose, it's going to leave very quickly. You know, it's amazing as we look at even Apple, and everyone, most people have an iPhone or they've had an iPhone, and they look at that and they look at Steve Jobs, who was worth, I believe, over hundreds of millions of dollars. He acquired all of the wealth, but when life came to an end, his purpose had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. He had not accepted Jesus that we know of as a savior. So all the mass collection of money meant absolutely nothing because he couldn't take it with him. We've got to make sure that our purpose is clear. We've got to make sure that our existence and the reason for the breath in our lungs is understood. That God has foreordained you. He has created you fearfully and wonderfully. That God has a divine purpose individually and then corporately for you in the body of Christ. And the devil's job is to make sure that he can disengage you from your purpose. You can watch people's purpose disappear when they no longer are involved, no longer come to the house of God, no longer make God their priority. Their purposes have been deviated. You know, the devil doesn't need to deviate us a lot to mess us up. If you take a 5-degree deviation over a elongated trail, you're going to be way off the mark. The devil's not going to work hard to bring in great deviations. He's going to do small ones so that you're not even paying attention to it. We've got to be aware of how the devil works to disengage you from your existence and purpose. We've got to pay attention to how the enemy is working even to the church world and how to bring the church to where 90,000 close and then the ones that are open make no more difference on this planet. Turn to someone and say, I'm a person of difference. You see, you've got to be purposed. Your whole purpose is you are the light of the world. Your whole purpose is to share the gospel. I'm gonna do this. Ready? Here we go. Don't answer. Turn to someone and say, don't answer. If the church does not see people born again, then the church has lost its purpose. If we as believers haven't led one person to Jesus in an entire year, we've lost our purpose. Let me say it again. If a church is not seeing people born again, if people are not confessing Christ at church, if people are not getting saved in a ministry, the church has lost its purpose, its existence. And as an individual, if we don't lead one soul to Jesus in an entire 365 days, then we have to ask ourselves, have we lost our purpose? Do you realize if everybody in this room led one person to Jesus once a year? Well, Pastor, that's really hard. Really? One day we decided to go soul winning here. And I went down to the new McDonald's with whatever store is in there. And I walked into the store and I looked at the lady behind the counter. I said, hey, how are you? Of course, I bought something. You know, you can't be cheap and give the gospel. So I bought something and I said to her, I said, how you doing? She says, good. How are you? I said, great. I said, I hope you don't mind me asking, you know, how's your relationship with God? She looked at me for a second like I had six heads. She goes, well, you know, actually, I used to go to church all the time, and I'm just not right with God, and I haven't been to church in so long. I live such a bad life. I walked away from the Lord, and you know, I feel guilty about that, though. And I said, really? I said, you know what? You can get right with God right here. And I led her in the sinner's prayer right there at the counter at near whatever that store is next to McDonald's, and I led her back to Christ. And I said, man, now finish the race. Don't just... So people are hungry. People are hungry to know Jesus. It is easy to share Jesus. It is easy to lead someone to the Lord. We're going to get into that in the next few weeks. Say amen or oh my. I want you to know that the devil, like I said, he spazzes whenever he sees God starting to move. Let's take it back to Jesus. So Jesus, we know according to the word of God in the book of Matthew, that the Spirit of God came down upon Mary, who was a virgin. She was with child, all God, all man in the same body. But yet, according to Philippians chapter 2, he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. So Jesus, as he was raised, being raised, at about 2 years old, was ending up living in a house. And that's when the Magi came. I want to remind you, it wasn't, we three kings of Orient are. If there were only three kings, they'd all been killed. It was a mass group of Magi, mass group of men, of wise men that came to see. And on the way, they went to Herod and said, can you tell us where the king of the Jews is? Well, they then went and they found Jesus and they brought all the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know so much that it was able to provide for the family for over 2 years or more in Egypt with full compensation. Well, Herod, who was not a man of God in any manner, shape, or form, I want to remind you, whenever you start moving in the Spirit and God starts moving in your life, that when the devil spazzes, he always uses other people against you. And so all of a sudden, now we have Herod made a decree. I want all the children under the age of 2 slaughtered. I don't want one remaining, because if they do, this guy called the King of the Jews might rise. Whenever the devil senses the atmosphere of a new thing, whenever the devil senses an atmosphere of God pouring out his Spirit, he starts to spaz and tries to halt the king. Watch now. Jesus is the head of the church. He could not kill Jesus. Come on now. Jesus said, no man took my life. I gave my life. And then he rose again on the third day. But you'll recognize that today we are the body of Christ. So the goal of the devil is not to stop Christ. He already died and rose from the dead. The goal of the devil today is to stop the church. Everything is spiritual first. We fight not against flesh and blood. He will always use flesh to try to stop, but it is still a spiritual principle first. And the devil has worked desperately on the church over this last year. And this is what I want to talk about. I'm almost ready to preach. I want to talk about one of the greatest ploys of the enemy that the church world at large has bought. And it's called isolation. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill that cannot be hid. The Bible says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Yet it's amazing how when you start looking at what has occurred over the last year or 17 months, you're watching as the world or the world's kingdom or the world's system has actually combated the kingdom of God by allowing the church, come on now, the church buying the isolation mentality. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Don't get too close to me. I don't want to catch the virus. Was it a real virus? Yes, it was a real virus. Did people die? Yes, they died. But the fact is that what got into people was far more deadly than what happened even when people died on the planet. You see, because if the church loses its authority, if the church steps out of its power, if the church stops being the light, then there is no hope for this whole world. So what's happened is this, is that the church has bought isolation. Shaking hands with somebody now is bad. Hugging somebody is bad. Meeting a stranger is now bad. You can't even see lips. Listen, I'm not talking about anybody against anybody wearing a mask in the room. Please don't take offense, but I'm going to offend you a little. Because Dr. Fauci came out. Dr. Falsely. I'm not going to get into it. You can read it yourself. But the fact is that we're looking at the church for the longest time. In fact, I know churches today that are still not open. They still not have opened their doors. They're still not having church. Yet the Bible declares, oh, I'm sorry, the Bible declared, forsake not the assembly of yourself as a matter of some of the special last days. Isolation was the devil not showing up in his little red suit with his pitchfork. But it was making sure that the churches who bought it, their light got dull. Because when they won't even have the boldness to stand up and obey God first, then their light gets dull. Hide it under a bushel. Isolation is something that has always been seen as negative, never been seen as positive. When you even look it up, I looked up a spot online with psychology. Identify the effects of social isolation and loneliness on the physical body, on the mental body, and on the cognitive health. We've watched more children commit suicide during this season than any other time. We have watched more people where their children didn't go to school. They were isolated. Where their kids used to be outgoing. They used to be excited about life. Now they've lost their drive. They're depressed. We watched as drug overdoses skyrocketed through the top when isolation became a mandate. Where in some states it's still mandated, where you're not even allowed to be around your family. That's not how God thinks. That's not what God said. God said the opposite. He said, don't isolate. He said, I've called you to come together where one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. Recognizing that when we all come together under the authority in the name of Jesus, that God will start moving in a mighty way, that God will start overpowering and taking back this generation. And the church that does not line up with that ends up slowly dissipating, disappearing, and literally will be wiped off the map. And individuals, and I watched individuals, they went into isolation and they changed. The change was their hunger for God. Because whether you like it or not, we need each other. Whether you like it or not, we need each other. And when you isolate yourself as a child of God, a three-cord strand is not easily broken. But when you're all by yourself, that's not God's plan. We need to identify how the enemy started to work. Now, here's the problem. The problem isn't that we are now coming out of isolation. The issue is not that the restraints are not being lifted. And I won't go any further as I've done in the other services because I want this one for television. Do you remember when the children of Israel, they were in Egypt for 400 years? They were in captivity. They were actual slaves. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They called out to God, and God sent a deliverer. His name was Moses. Moses came and the plagues that were there. And finally, Pharaoh said, get them out of here. Come on, you can take them. Get them out of there. And according to Exodus chapter 12, they put the blood over the doorpost on that last plague. And they ate the lamb. Remember, the blood represents forgiveness. The body represents healing. And Psalms 105 says they left with all the riches of Egypt. Glory to God. So they left Egypt and they start towards the Red Sea, and the Red Sea is closed. They look behind and they see the other government coming after them. They see the other reality coming after them. And that is that Pharaoh is saying, I want these people back to be my slaves. I'm coming after them. I'm going to bring them back. So God opens a Red Sea. They get to water. The water's bitter. God makes it sweet. Then God blesses them with food on their literally front doorstep called manna every single morning. They complain they don't have any meat, and God brings so much meat it starts coming out their nostrils. And then all of a sudden, time after time, they needed more water, and literally God brought water out of a rock that watered 2.5 million people, and then the rock followed them. That's really
really stinking cool when you see that. The rock went with them. They didn't carry the rock. It went with them. Stinking cool. But here's the problem. It was time to send the spies in, the 12 spies, and 10 of them came out, and they said, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. Watch this now. God delivered them from Egypt, but Egypt never came out of them. Isolation happened, and the thought of don't touch, don't get near, don't breathe on me, don't talk to me. Ah! Man, you should be on an airplane. We did a lot of flying last month. Dear Lord, it's horrible. And depending on the stewardess or steward, you might be able to get it down below here, but most of the time it's no. And they make it over your nose, and you got to hold it tight. And for 2+, well, we were on the plane one time for 6 hours. You're just sucking your own air, and that's bad enough. I don't like my own breath. But God wants to get the mindset of isolation out of his church because it has taken the light of God and it's put it under a bushel. It's taken the church and made the body of Christ at large of none effect because we're all kind of in survival mode. Every time you see anybody in the Bible in survival mode, it never ends out right. That's why Jesus came to make us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are not defeated. We are moving forward. We are changing forward. We're going to do mighty great things for the kingdom only if you will get the isolation out of your mind. I want to show this to you because I believe it's important. Anybody here ever heard of Elijah, the prophet? He was stinking cool, wasn't he? Like when you study his life, that's stinking cool. So here he is, right? The prophets of this, 400 prophets of Baal, right? And Elijah looked at him and says, hey, let's just see whose God is more real. And so the 400 prophets of Baal, man, they're getting ready. And he says, let's build an altar to our gods, put a sacrifice on it, and whosoever God eats it up with fire is the real God. Now, I don't know about you. That's pretty brazen. You know what I mean? Because we're talking fire from heaven. I've seen so many miracles. I can't even count them all in my hands and my feet and my nose hairs. They're all there. I've seen so many miracles. But I want you to know something. I've never called fire out of heaven. That would be really neat. So the prophets of Baal, they get their thing all set up and they start dancing around it, calling on their God, and they start cutting themselves. Teenagers, I want you to hear this. When you cut yourself, it actually goes back to the prophets of Baal or Baal worship. That's why you should never do that. Not only because it's dangerous and unhealthy for you, but where it comes from is not a good location. Watch now. So they're cutting themselves, calling on the prophets of Baal. And Elijah finally looks over and says, hey, where's your God? You know what? I know he's not answering you. Maybe he's in the toilet. No, literally, if you look at it, that's exactly what it says. He says, maybe your God's going to the bathroom. That's why he's not answering you. So Elijah, he's so cool. He goes over and he builds this altar. And he says, build it really good, build it really strong, put the sacrifice on top. And he says, no, don't stop there. Dig a trough all the way around it, and then I want you to dump water over top till the trough is full of water. So here's this thing, and Elijah goes like this, oh God, the sacrifice is consumed, the rocks are consumed, and the water is all licked up. Isn't that stinking cool? I mean, that's an awesome miracle. I don't know, I'd believe after that. Man, this is neat. So all of a sudden, he starts hearing something from the government. Her name was Jezebel. She was King Ahab's wife. And she said, I'm going to kill you, prophet of God. I'm going to kill you for what you did. So immediately, something changed in the prophet. From being a man calling fire out of heaven, now he starts running. I want to read it to you because I think it's really good, strong. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 says this. Elijah was afraid and rose and ran for his life. When the government told him, I'm going to kill you, I'm against you, he ran for his life. Isn't it interesting? He ran for whose life? His life. I thought we were dead in Christ. I thought our lives were no longer our own, but we've been bought with a price. You know, I went to a funeral one time, and it was one of these funerals where I didn't do the funeral. I was at the funeral where you had to kiss the dead person. Anybody ever been to those funerals where you kiss the dead person? Well, I didn't even know this dead person. You never been to those? Don't go. So it's my turn. I walk up to the dead person and I looked at them. They were dead. No, I didn't kiss them. I know, but they're supposed to kiss them on the lips. And I said, uh-uh. I kept going. Do you know if I had to kiss that dead person, you know what they would have done? Nothing. They're dead. You know what would have been interesting? If I kissed them and they went, thank you. But they were dead. Dead people don't feel. Elijah was not dead in his own flesh to the things of God. He still had his life. He ran in fear for his life. And I want you to see that the disciples, they never ran for their life. They were willing to give their life no matter what the cost was. Only one of them lived to a ripe old age, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos named John. Here it goes. It goes a little bit further. Ready? Verse 4 and 5. So he went down alone, isolation. He isolated himself in the wilderness, traveled all day. He sat down under a single solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who had already died from before me. Watch this now. When you go into isolation, you get depressed because you lose your purpose. A person without purpose is the walking dead. And if your only purpose is that of what the world can offer you, you're walking dead. That's the why you're alive today. You being fearfully and wonderfully made, you were made for this time and for this season because God has a people that only you can reach. You see, when we understand our purpose as individuals and our purpose as the body of Christ, then we are never walking dead. There is life within us that God is moving in us. God is directing us. God is using us. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's my third service. I can crack if I want to. You know what God said to Elijah? And you know what God is saying to people? Verse 9. But the Lord said to Elijah, what are you doing here? You see, when we isolate ourselves, God is asking us a question. What are you doing? What are you doing here? It's a posture and a position of no purpose. God's purpose for you and I is to touch other people. God's purpose for us is to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. God's purpose for us is to share the gospel with people that do not know the Lord. That means probably you don't know them. This isolation has been so damning to the body of Christ because now everybody's afraid to talk to somebody. They're afraid to reach out to somebody. They're afraid to love people because they feel they have to be isolated because they got that in their craw. They got that in their mind, and it's not the mind of Christ. This is the diabolical plot of Lucifer's lair. It is to get the body of Christ to actually believe something contrary to the scripture, to disembowel, to blow the light out at the church, and it's time for the church to awaken to the attacks of the enemy. It's time for us to understand that God has not called us to isolate, that God has called us, come on now, he's called us to evangelize. He's called us to share the gospel. He's called us to move in his power, to move in his authority, to show his love. Oh, come on now. Even the scripture actually says this. Ready? Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I'm not talking holy kiss. I'm talking, you know, like the Europeans, you kiss on each side thing. Kiss? You mean holy kiss these days? What are you talking about? I don't even shake hands today. They might have the COVID. Might get the COVID. Well, you know something? You got to make a decision. I'd rather die with COVID sharing the gospel than to die with no purpose huddled in a room. Say amen.
Amen.
And the body of Christ that does not understand what the enemy's been doing is going to congregate to themselves if they dare and not open it up to people that don't know Christ. I asked that question earlier. If you've not led someone to Jesus in 1 year, you've probably missed your purpose. And it comes down to this, where if the church doesn't awaken in these last days that God is going to move, we will miss the move of the Holy Spirit. We will miss the harvest that God has planned. We will miss the outpouring of signs and wonders. We will miss the lives changed. You know, Abe, I've been wanting to just say this to you all the whole service. You bless me so much. I just love you so much. You know, I've watched you grow in Christ. I've watched you go through difficult times, but you always shine the light of Jesus. And I just want you to know, I'm very proud to know you as my friend, but also as me being your pastor. You can't get around them without getting the light. Where's your light? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a... I'm not gonna isolate. Oh, Satan only blows it out if you isolate. Because then you're all by yourself. When was the last time you shared Jesus with somebody that needed God? When was the last time that you prayed for somebody that was sick? When was the last time, because I know you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. When was the last time you did some a little evangelism where you loved somebody to life instead of shunning them to death? It's time to change. Come on now, church. It's time to come out of the mindset of isolation and get back to evangelization. It's time to get back to sharing the love of Jesus that changes a life. It's time to be life givers, not life hoarders. Amen? Is that all right today? I just want to push you. We're going to start talking about how to share the gospel with your friends. We're going to start that next week as well. And I just want you to be ready. Can I share with you real quickly just two verses and then I'll be done? Here's your purpose. Everyone has different gifts, but we all have one call that's the same. You know what my mom does? My mom will walk around her cul-de-sac. Is that what it is called? Or she'll walk around that thing and she talks to her neighbors all the time. She shares the gospel all the time. That's my mom. That's you. I caused you all that problem, I know. But you spelled my name wrong. Where are you with your light? Have you lost interest with God? I'll tell you why. You've isolated yourself from the house of God, the people of God, the word of God, and prayer. Because you cannot be in those things and lose your fire. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Bow your heads with me this morning. I'll read those verses while your heads are bowed. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Everybody say go. go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. Mark 16, 15, 17 through 20. Go into all the world, shall go. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. These miraculous signs will follow you. You will cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. If you touch any dead thing, it shall not harm you. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I love this, verse 20. God working with you, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. My question is if you're not right with God, you have no purpose in life. You can make all the money you want, live in the biggest house you desire, have all the friends you want, but the fact is when you take your last breath, you're all by yourself for judgment. I challenge you today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to lead you to your purpose. I want to lead you to the one who will forgive you, make you whole, make you a new man, make you a new woman, change your life. Today, if you'd like Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. If you'd like to get right with God, slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Five. Thank you, young man. Put your hand right back down. I see it. Thank you. I'm very proud of you. Five. Thank you, sir. Right there. I see you, too. Four. Thank you very much in the back. Thank you very much. You can put it right back down, honey. Three. Two. Last call. Oh, my goodness. It should scare the hell out of you if you have the opportunity to get right and you don't. Because you don't know you're going to make it the rest of the day. Don't try to scare me. Oh, you should be awake. I can see your hand. You should be awake. There's this woman named Mother Etter. She got up one time and she's preaching. And this man got up. He got mad in the church service. Man got up and starts walking out the door. She says, "Sir, the Holy Spirit says if you walk across that threshold, you will die and go to hell." And I believe he flipped her off. That's what the book says. And walked across the threshold and dropped dead of a heart attack the moment his both feet got across. You don't know when your last time is. Don't take your call for granted. I'm one more option. You want to get right with Jesus, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Amen. Thank you. Thank you in the back. Let's all stand to our feet. If you raise your hand, Mindy's already over here. This is Mindy. Wave at everybody. Mindy's right here. We don't want you to walk out the door without knowing this. We want to pray with you. Want to give you a Bible, want to give you a book, and we want to not only make sure you start the race, but you finish the race. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your church. I declare that we are the light of heaven on this earth. I thank you, God, that the kingdom of God, the salt, that preserver, that we are going to take back what the devil has stolen. Father, we are not going to miss your outpouring. We are not going to miss what you're going to do. We are paying attention. We are purging ourselves of any sin. We are going to run this race all the way to the end. And God, we ask that you use us in every manner you desire. Jesus, for all those that raised their hand this morning for salvation, I thank you as they come to this front. The Lord, you're not only going to forgive them, but you're going to set them up for purpose for the rest of their lives. From young to old, God, transform them from the inside out. All those that are watching on live stream, I pray, God, that they raise their hand. They want you, that God, they will just get right on there and say, "I just need Jesus." And Lord, somebody will reach to them right now. Father, we love you. Thank you for this awesome day. God, we declare a momentum in the Holy Ghost that we have never seen before at Horseheads, his tabernacle. God, we're all going to sit back and hang on for the ride because it's going to be so quick, so fast, so powerful. And Lord, to God be the glory, great things you have done. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Come on, lead one person to Christ this week. For the glory of God, we'll see you next week. Don't forget, tonight, Bishop Rick Thomas will be in the house at 6 p.m.